there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 157. This is the 157th edition here at the Caffeination. We're a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. I just wanted to give you a little introduction and everything, get you on into the show so you know exactly what's coming down the pike and you know what to expect from today's show. We have a great show, I hope, lined up for you today. We're going to be talking about a whole bunch of crazy things today. We're trying to get through topics such as floating planets, a review of the Zonbu, EA Sports, some news from out of there, why you personally can be the next battery, concrete lamps, and deep fried Pepsi. Yeah, that about rounds out most of the stuff we're going to talk about here on the show. This show was recorded on Sunday night, 8/19/2007. That's August 19th, 2007. We'd just like to welcome all of the new listeners to the Caffeination Podcast. If this is your first time listening to the show, we cover everything in the high-octane world of tunes and tech, coffee and all things caffeinated. We try and run the gamut between just crazy stuff you find on the internet, new and interesting tips and tricks that we can help you fix your computer. We answer listener emails, the whole nine yards. We're generally a very laid-back show. We do play just a smidgen of pod-safe music to satisfy my inner DJ, and other than that, we have a relatively smooth flowing show. Lots of interesting tech stories. We like to think that they're all described so that anybody can see them. If you'd like to find this this podcast, you can head on over to www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. We're still getting over being sick here, so the throat's just a little scratchy. You might not be able to hear it, but might have to take a small breather every now and then. The boy is slowly getting better, so you know, it's very weird seeing him sick, because you know that there's nothing we can give him to get him over these small little colds. So You know, it's fun, but you know, having him around, and it's fun, you know, finding out all these new and different little quirks of parenthood. But at the same point in time, some of the things are a real drag, like the fact that you can't just give the guy cold medicine. You know what I mean? You can see he's suffering, you can see he's having a rough time of it, but the only thing you can do is put the humidifier on in his room. So he's waking up periodically throughout the evening, and actually, the last show we recorded on Wednesday night was, I was like, all right, you know, everything's going to work out fine. I'm going to get done, finish the show around like 12:10 a.m. So it would be Thursday morning. And on my way upstairs, he started crying. And my wife was at like the end of the rope at that point. She was beyond tired. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to stay up with the kid. There shouldn't be any problem. I'll get him back to sleep in like 20 minutes, a half hour. 2 hours later, he finally passed out, I'm pretty sure just due to sheer exhaustion. So that rounded out like a 23-hour day, and just woke up 3 hours later for work. So it's been a rough couple days here at the Caffeination. But then again, anybody who's ever had kids can tell you that's pretty much the par for the course sometimes. Not complaining or anything, want people to understand, if I don't get back to your emails right now, it's because we're at one of those periods of time. We're trying to follow up all the wonderful emails we've been getting. We've had musical suggestions, story suggestions. We've got some of the story suggestions on today's show. We have a couple other little things that we're trying to work on. And one of the things, I don't know why, but you know, this is the end of the summer, so the beginning of the semester is right around the corner. So we're trying to get everything all situated and work. So we have a couple articles that are kind of like post-process. Like a lot of them are done, but they're not, you know, to where I would like to release them. So that's why there's not very much extra content available online yet. But we're trying to fix that. We do have a couple little things to tell you about. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can email us at caffeination@gmail.com. You can call our listener line at 215-240-1319. The Skype ID is caffa-nation. And homing pigeon, you know, whatever else you want. I don't know why I keep saying that. But all right. Like I said, this is the Caffeination Podcast, episode 157. We're going to try and plan something cool for episode 200. Don't know if it's actually going to go off, but trying to plan well in advance this time. You know, I never really even thought about celebrating, you know, 150 episodes or something like that. Never even thought about celebrating 1 year on the air. So I'm pretty sure 200's probably going to occur sometime in December or January at this point. I think we're averaging roughly 50 episodes every 6 months, so like 100 a year or something like that. So it's like roughly around there. So we're trying to get everything together. Any suggestions that people have for what you'd like to see us do for episode 200 or anything, please feel free to drop them in. You know, this is well ahead of time, so we're not going to get into that too much. But we would like to talk to you about a little thing. It's our sponsor for today's show. This show is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. If you're looking for a better way to present or work together during your conference calls, your solution is quite simple. Web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your call, everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com, and your computer screen shows up on their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, training, or real-time collaboration. Plus, you're not charged a permanent fee like some of the other providers that are out there. You can meet as often as you want for as long as you need with one flat rate. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone, anywhere, anytime without ever having to step foot outside your office. You not only end up saving a boatload of time, but a bucket of money as well. You can see for yourself. Head on over to GoToMeeting.com/podcast and try it free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast, that's PODCAST, and try GoToMeeting free today. All right, we'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor of the Caffeination Podcast. We like to try and get that out of the way right up in front in the beginning of the episode, because we want to make sure everybody's still here, because I know a couple people have told me in the past that, you know, I'm really happy that you actually put the caffeinated stuff at the end, because, you know, I'm not really a big coffee drinker. Every once in a while, you know, when you're running long-winded, you know, something I never really do, honestly, but when you're running long-winded, it doesn't kill me if I miss the caffeinated part, so I'm like, all right, well, you know, if you have any suggestions or anything else like that that you think we could improve the episodic content or anything else like that, please feel free to let us know. We're trying to fine-tune the episode and get everything done the right way, get everything all squared away as we head towards the second century of caffeination, or the third century, actually. But, all right, we want to talk to you a little bit about the upcoming PodSafe music artist that we're going to be playing on today's show. The musical accompaniment for today's show is provided courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network. That's music.podshow.com. It's a fun. We're actually going to do a little bit of comedy. It was suggested by three or four listeners that we try a different vein. So, you know, done a lot of bluesy stuff recently. We're trying to venture out and break off and do different fun things. So we have a band called the New Anonymous Folk Singers, and their song Pitcher of Beer. Now, this is a song that I've heard a couple times, and it has a fun little cadence to it, so hopefully you're going to enjoy it as much as I do. It's not like something you've heard here at the Caffeination before, so if you enjoy it, please let us know. If not, you know, hey, no hard feelings. We're just going to move in a different direction the next time. Again, here's the New Anonymous Folk Singers from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com.
A pitcher of beer, let's order another pitcher of beer. That pitcher of beer should come over here. I love that pitcher of beer. Perhaps you enjoy a pilsner. I myself prefer stout. But what's really important's that pitcher, 'cause my beer's damn near run out. A pitcher of beer, a pitcher of beer, let's order another pitcher of beer. That pitcher of beer should come over here. I love that pitcher of beer.
I prefer Bud in a bottle. When I'm picking the tunes with the boys, so barkeep, please don't you dawdle. A beer might just drown out all this noise.
A pitcher of beer, a pitcher of beer, let's order another pitcher of beer. That pitcher of beer should come over here. I love that pitcher of beer. A pitcher of beer, let's order another. pitcher of beer should come over here. I love that pitcher of beer. Now I like good beer like the next guy, although I prefer rum and coke. But give me a sip from that pitcher, 'cause I drank myself stupid and broke. So let me just finish by saying that I'd like to drink some more beer. A pitcher is ready and waiting to be filled and delivered here. A pitcher of beer, a pitcher of beer. Let's order another pitcher of beer. That pitcher of beer should come over here. Pitcher of beer.
Again, that was the New Anonymous Folk Singers and their song Pitcher of Beer from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Hopefully you enjoyed that. Like I said, it was completely different than most of the stuff we have ever played here in the podcast. It's a little bit similar to some of the things that we played early on, some of the Little Thumb and stuff like that. We're going to be getting back into some of that. Specifically, the Inside Joke song, got a hankering to play that one, so we haven't played around with that in a little while, so hopefully you're going to hear some of that. Again, we accept all comments, great and small. If you have an issue with something we're doing, please feel free to let us know. Actually, don't just feel free to let us know. Consider it your moral obligation, because I will keep doing the things that irritate you until I know that they do irritate you. And then, you know, I might even continue on trying to do it just because I like irritating people, but, you know, not as much, but still. All right. That has pretty much tailed off into absolutely nowhere. So we have a wonderful little section of tech tidbits for you today. A little bit of caffeinated bits, but some strange stories all the way around. I wanted to talk to you a little bit right up the front about PodCamp, which, by the way, first of all, you are listening to the Caffeination Podcast. We had a couple people tell us they were listening to the stream and they had to actually check the website to find out exactly who I am. I'm Paul. This is the Caffeination Podcast. www.caffeination.com. All right, now back to the news here. We are actually going to be attending PodCamp. That's a unconference. It's actually a fun little gathering where everybody gets together trying to learn all about podcasting. It's a networking event. It's for podcasters themselves, it's for listeners, it's for pretty much everybody who runs the gamut of the PodCamp or the podcasting world. It's a fun little conference. It's actually going to be held at Drexel University here in the city of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's going to be held September 7th, 8th, and 9th, so we are going to be in attendance, we the royal we, meaning myself and me and I. But so if you're going to be at PodCamp, please feel free to drop us a line, caffeination@gmail.com. If you'd like to meet up, say howdy, you know, press the flag, whatever. All right, we haven't figured out what sessions we're going to be going to yet, and we've had some calls for me to actually run a session. I don't know if I'm going to. It took a lot at the beginning of this show to actually, you know, say, you know what, I'm going to put my voice out there for everybody to hear, and then take that one step further, actually to stand up in front of a group of people that I don't know, and then start expounding theorems. You know, I could be full of it. You know, I'm probably am. You don't know. So you have to sort of speak from a position of authority, and I don't know if I'm ready to put myself in a position of authority. We do have 156, nigh on 157 episodes but under our belt, and we have been in operation as a podcast since January of 2006, would have been since November of 2005, but stuff just didn't work out. You know, didn't have a mic, and that's kind of one of those things you need, but still, since January of 2006, this has been an operational podcast, so there is some kind of clout behind that, and we're not just one of those fly-by-night operations. We definitely fly during all hours of the day and evening, but still. All right, I just wanted to kind of let you know we are going to be in attendance there. It should be a fun time had for all. We're going to give you a reporting on the whole nine yards, let you know how everything went down. Might even try and do a mini show there. I don't know if that's actually going to fly, but still, we'll see. All right, on to the next little actual piece of news. The wonderful fellow who runs EcoGeek.com, that'd be Mr. Hank Green, has decided to call himself Mr. Zonbu. Now, a Zonbu, if you remember, is the $99 mini PC that has almost next to no storage on the actual PC itself. It actually works in part by sending all of your files that you're not currently using onto the server, and you actually pay a per monthly fee, so it's a very greatly reduced price for the actual PC, and then there's a tethered existence of I think $12.95 or something like that. And he actually wrote a really good review about the good, the bad, and the indifferent when it comes to Zonbu and the ideas. It actually runs its own kind of Linux, and here the thing that was not originally apparent when the story came out is, yes, you can buy these things. The hardware in and of itself is in its final stage. It is what you will buy in V1 Zonbu, you know what I mean? The first version of this machine is what you are getting. But the software that's running it is still considered a beta, so there are a couple little bugs that are running out there. He says, I'm just going to give you a little bit of a rundown. You can head on over to EcoGeek.com to check this out. But the good basically is that there is absolutely no noise to this PC. It's utterly fanless. It uses as much power running full Steam as most computers do when they're hibernating. So I mean that alone is unbelievable. And it says it's applications start up quickly. You can do basic multitasking. No video playback in the background or anything else like that. And the system feels generally responsive. He says there hasn't been any delay in getting his stuff done. He's been able to do everything he should be able to do on the PC that he needs to. It says it's best seemed to be a day-to-day internet access device. This thing's really good for just like I guess it'd be like a living room or a kitchen PC to look up recipes and stuff like that, do minor bookkeeping tests and things like that. I don't know if he's actually using this as his full-time machine or whatever, but it says you can open up attachments, PDFs, and everything else is pretty much there. All right, it says there are a couple areas that do need a little bit of improvement. First of all, being the software. I'm pretty sure if it had been said that the software's still in beta right up front, everybody would have been like, okay, we're not going to expect everything. But there are a lot of hype that was associated with this, and it was kind of like people were expecting the moon and the stars, and they only got a half full moon, no stars as of yet. But they said there's a pretty aggressive bug hunting unit that seems to be in existence. There's different kinds of Linux that people have actually tried to run in the past. Ubuntu, FreeSpire, Dream Linux, a whole bunch of different things. But he says the Zonbu Linux has actually moved the bar. It's become closer and closer to what a desktop experience should be for a Linux user. And he goes on to actually expound upon the problems of Linux for general deployment, one of which being you don't want to overwhelm somebody with all the command line and stuff that they're not going to read. It needs to be Linux for real people. It's one of the things that Ubuntu is actually really very good at, especially when you compare to some of the other Linuxes that are out there. But he says that it's still not quite to Mac OS X and Windows XP stability, not even mentioning Vista there. I mean, come on. But it says it needs to be checked against the mom test. Would your mother understand, and would what would she do if confronted with a problem or dialogue? And so, all right. he goes on to give you a couple little positive and negatives, you know, experiences trying to play MP3s and stuff like that, and a couple of the other things. Like, for instance, it doesn't have support for webcams as of yet. So while I do use a webcam for my the Wednesday show, which, by the way, you're going to have to check back on the website. We're going to update an article so that it'll tell you what we're going to be doing with the Ustream thing. We're actually going to be redoing how we run Ustream. We're going to try and reset up the recording studio down here, you know, and we'll see how that works out. But check caffeination.com and on Monday or Tuesday evening, and you'll see a little bit more information. We are going to be recording Wednesday night, so hopefully that'll run off without a hitch. But all right, on to the next little thing we have here from over at the Sci-Fi Tech blog. That's at blog.sci-fi.com. We actually found a fun little story about a product which appears to at first only be available in Japan. But hey, I mean, there's a lot of crazy products that are out there, and Japan by no means has the market cornered for crazy cool stuff. But this is one of those things where it's like, you know what? If I was a little kid, I would definitely have this. They have helium balloons, or, you know, perfect spheroids that are shaped like celestial bodies and painted with illuminating paint, like painted with glowing paint, so that when you turn off the light, the moon that's floating around your room, it actually lights up, or the Earth actually has like the nighttime view of the planet kind of thing going on. That's just awesome. I would love to have that. When I was still living at home, and you know, in early years of high school, I actually painted my ceiling with all kinds of crazy pictures and everything. Had all kinds of black light paint and glow in the dark paint and stuff all over the place. Horrified some of the more straight laced members of the family at large, but generally well received, and I actually did paint over it before I left, but still. The only thing I could see that's an issue for this is it's very common in our house to actually have ceiling fans, and these are just basically helium balloons, and they just don't mix with ceiling fans. Every once in a while, you get one of those Mylar balloons that gets punted a good 10-15 feet, or the string gets wrapped around it. There's no string with these, but there should still be some kind of way you could tether their existence, maybe. Still, it just seemed to be a cool thing. There's no word on price or anything else like that. Just thought I would pass it along to people out there. All right, now, next little thing here is that I don't know if this is necessarily a new topic. Maybe it's just new branding. But EA Sports, specifically EA NCAA 2008, is actually going to have real-time weather. So whatever the weather is outside your window, there's no more need to go outside to that pesky, big blue open room where the orb you can burn you if you stay out there too long. No. Stay next to the close cooling glow of your TV and spend lots of money on EA games, because now you can actually experience the weather that's outside your door right now. You can play in that same weather in the game. So basically, if it's raining outside and you're playing Penn State versus Temple or something like that, and you decide to, you'd like to cream Temple just a little bit more than Penn State did or something like that, then you have every opportunity to do so in the current weather conditions. Now, this reminds me of a couple. There was a game called Black and White a while ago. It was a wonderful God game. It had a neat little story attached to it, and there was all kinds of crazy cool inventions, but there was actually real-time weather in it, I'm pretty sure, where it would actually change the weather that you were experiencing in the game to with the weather that was outside. And that was pretty cool, because there was a bunch of different weather features, so I'm pretty sure if you were in Seattle, you got very used to using the rain-slicked world and stuff like that. And there's a couple other games that I know at least report the weather, and when I was actually playing one of the EA games recently, the thing that I'd like to add to them, because when you're in the menus where you can choose the different things, like if you'd like to play a big game, a season, franchise, whatever else like that, they actually have the real-time scores from the different sports leagues that you'd like to follow scrolling across the bottom of your screen. Now, if you could keep that in the game itself, or have that as an option, I would actually think that's kind of cool. Because while I don't necessarily want to watch all the different games games that are happening across the league at any given point in time. If you could just have updates scroll across the bottom of the game, I wouldn't feel as cut off from the world. But still, hey, come on, people, seriously, you need to go outside every once in a while. And this is from an avid gamer. But it's going to be available on all the major platforms and everything else like that. But just thought it was fun. And now moving right along to something straight out of the Matrix. We have a new way to create green energy. So you are now going to be a copper top specifically. A bunch of scientists in Germany have found a way to use body heat to generate electricity. Now, these aren't a load. This isn't a load of electricity. I don't think it would actually be able to power a laptop. Or anything else like that, but it's has potential. So I could definitely see, like, you know, wearing a patch on the back of your arm or something like that and having your iPod attached to it. I could definitely see, you know, if you'd like to recharge a cell phone or something like that and you're wearing, like, a battery collecting pants or something else like that. I mean, it would be pretty cool. You know, it measures in millivolts and microamps, so, small amounts of electricity here being generated, but if it could store it over time, I'm pretty sure that this can actually be a fun little way to actually generate some electricity yourself. I mean, specifically, if you're sitting at your desk all day, you're doing nothing, you're just typing on your computer, you're working diligently, if you had a little patch in your pocket or something like that on your jeans that was charging your cell phone as you sat there, I mean, that would be pretty cool. I mean, even if it's just like a trickle charge, just enough to replace whatever energy you may be using at that particular point in time, you know, by having it on, you know, just standby mode. I mean, that would have like an indefinite battery life for the for the product, which is awesome. So, I mean, hats off to the German scientists there who figured this whole thing out. There's no plans to see that to put this technology into consumer devices at this point. But then again, I don't know if they patented it or you know, who's doing what, but it'll be out there shortly. Next thing we have up here is actually a fun little story, just a plain little one-off thing. Apparently, you're soon going to be able to buy a real prehistoric beast. Yes, you're going to have your own pterosaur. That's pterosaur for the dinosaur-minded. It's going to be a scale model, a 17-inch wingspan, so you can fly it indoors and out, and you can control it from up to 100 feet away. If you remember back to the 1983 movie, War Games, one of the scientists in the movie actually had a larger scale model of one of these. But this seems kind of cool. I'm all for you know, model airplanes and everything else like that. And I think RC technology is really crazy, especially considering how much you can do with some of it. So this is actually a wing flapping vehicle. I mean, this keeps itself aloft by flapping. So, you know, it must be really light, and it seems to be a pretty cool idea. I'd like to see one in real life before I'd actually consider plunking down any change for it, specifically when, you know, being $80. But, you know, hey, nonetheless, you can control your own dinosaur, and that just seems pretty cool. All right, up next, we wanted to just link to this. We're not going to necessarily run through it. We're going to give you a couple of our favorite ones in there. But this is a roundup from over at Trend Hunter of all the crazy, it's considered the top 16 innovations in vending technology. So number one they have as the bicycle vending unit that we talked about last time. Number two is one that actually escaped my knowledge. It's actually the Nike Yoga 3 3 soccer ball vending machine. Apparently this thing exists at Chelsea Piers in New York City. It says where balls are often lost over for when big goals are scored. So you can actually, it looks like around $3 and you get a new soccer ball or something like that. But hey, I mean, that's pretty cool. Mobile phone vending machines, iPod vending machines, you know, for, I think you can bet pretty much vend any kind of iPod, a headphone, accessory, or whatever else like that. Nail art vending machines, beauty vending machines, so you can use like use air to fill your tires, air to fill your head. No, just you know, like the hair straighteners and blow dryers and everything else like that. You have ice cream, the ubiquitous Waterworks vending machine. They actually have in different flavor combinations that you can mix together at will. Pizza vending machines, which just seem awesome and wrong all in the same thing. DVD rental machines in McDonald's. And charity vending machines. And you basically have a... a vending machine set up, and you get to pick which charity you'd like to donate your spare change to. So that's pretty cool. And then another one is, I actually thought this was the best one out of there, but for $5, you can actually put $5 into an old-style cigarette vending machine and get a small piece of art. They're called Artomatics, or Artomats, rather. And I just think that's an awesome use for older technology. And these things were fairly ubiquitous, at least in the United States, up until about 10 years ago, when I believe they became illegal because there was no age verification technology associated with that, other than the fact that if the guy behind the counter saw that you were a kid and you were buying cigarettes, he said, hey, get away from that machine. But I've still seen them around every once in a while. You see a rogue unit, but this is a really interesting idea for how to actually use these things. I mean, there were tons of these things laying around, so I'm glad somebody actually came up with an idea, even if they're just sticker packs or anything else like that, or tiny little sculptures. That's a crazy cool idea for how to use it. So, all right, moving right along here. How would you like to have a concrete lamp? Well, apparently there's this new concrete that's out there that's incredibly expensive. We're talking $1,000 per square meter. So, square meter, so roughly like $975 per square yard if you're in the United States, but still. It has a porous... you can see through it to a certain extent. When it looks solid enough, but when you actually put a light behind it, it actually shines through for certain little places. It's kind of a translucent light. It's not really a direct see-through. So there's a whole bunch of different ways that they said this could actually end up being used. So it's called the Litra Cube Semi-Transparent Concrete Lamp. Litracon is actually a light transmitting concrete. So it has parallel optic fibers embedded into it, and it's just as strong as regular concrete, but light ends up shining through it. So they're saying, in addition to using it as a lampshade, you can also make windows that are basically unbreakable, build a foundation of your house to let some light in. And I could definitely see, you know, specifically for like larger museums and everything else like that, this would be wonderful to build atriums and other things just to let more natural light in there as an energy-saving device. I could see even building a roof out of something similar to it, especially if they, instead of concrete, you know, because a concrete roof's a little bit of a scary idea if you live in a earthquake ravaged area, but maybe somehow meld this technology with like a metal alloy instead of a concrete silicate, and you know, have some kind of like see-through metal. That would just be really cool. So this is crazy cool technology that's coming out of some of the different design houses there. But yeah, a concrete lampshade. That's just a neat idea. So thought I'd pass it along to all of you. All right, and the next little thing we have up here is kind of like a little calling of the government out there. Apparently, there's a the government keeps giving millions and millions of dollars to real-life phaser and lightning guns from this company called Ionitron. They've already used $220 million of taxpayer money to get absolutely no products shipped. The Pentagon keeps giving them all these crazy contracts, and they basically call one of the technologies they were actually developing is a laser bomb diffusing device called a bomb zapper. The Pentagon has actually quote unquote called it bull. Somehow it's a futuristic weapons Persevere. So yesterday, the company announced that a $2.09 million contract from Army Research Develop and Engineering for a energy technology vehicle-borne improva IED disarming device. So you know what? If the government's just going to start giving money for people who are giving money to people for products that are never actually going to... make it to market, I think I have a brilliant career ahead of me, because I'm going to tell them right up front they're never going to get anything for their investment, and I'll do it for significantly less than $220 million. And they should just kind of, you know, give it to me, because, hey, they're going to get exactly the same thing in return. And if they're saying, oh, well, you know, they employ people, I'll employ people too. Anybody else want to just sit around and get money from the government for no apparent reason? You don't ever have to actually do anything. You just have to say cool words like laser and energy, and I'm pretty sure transporter and teleporter could be in there somehow, and you know, throw a couple terrorists in there, and maybe, you know, I don't know, an IED and a couple little well-placed acronyms, maybe a WMD or two, and I'm pretty sure we could start up a company that doesn't ever actually have to do anything. Maybe we could go, you know, all Google and hire executive chefs and have segues throughout a campus, because, you know, when you have a company like that, you're probably develop some kind of campus, but all right, moving right along to real news. And by real news, I mean really, really freaky news. All right, again from over at trendhunter.com. Now, the only reason this is on a tech blog is because it's on the internet and I just had to share it. Apparently, there are something called magic fish spas where you immerse yourself into pools of water that are populated by millions of doctor fish, as they are called. They are also called the reddish log sucker fish. So they're considered the doctors of the animal world. They actually clean dead skin cells off people, and they clean... Yeah, I know, it's really freaky. If you want to check out the link, you can. There's actually a video of these things cleaning people's feet. There's a whole bunch of business people around a wading pool. Some of the pictures that they actually have on the website are people, like, fully immersed almost, showing a blissful look on their face. I'm sorry, if I'm nothing more than food for a bunch of fish, I'd just get freaked out that one of them might get an idea to go a little bit deeper than the epidermis, you know what I mean? All right, so we're just going to pass on that one. I just thought I'd pass it along to everybody because I thought it was so outrageous and out there. All right, that about wraps up the tech tidbit section. We are going to talk to you a little bit about caffeinated bits coming right up. But first of all, we'd like to give you the little station ID kind of thing here. This is the Caffeination Podcast, located lovingly, nestled, placed, uploaded over at caffeination.com. www.caffeination.com. This is episode 157. It's going to be the 20th of August 2007. Started on the 19th. This is a day-long episode. Can you imagine that? All right. First of all, you can find us over at, like I said, caffeination.com. You can send all your comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, whatever else you'd like to throw our direction to caffeination@gmail.com. And you can leave a comment over at the website. You can share it. We have a fun little share this button down at the bottom that actually brings up this cool little Java menu now where you can share us on Delicious, Dig, Furl, Netscape, Yahoo, StumbleUpon, Google Bookmarks, Technorati, Blinklist, Newsvine, Magnolia, whatever that is, Reddit, Windows Live, and TailRank. And then there's even a fun little thing where you can email things to people. So if you find an episode that's particularly juicy that you'd like to share, you feel free to dig us or email it to somebody else. I mean, that's always appreciated. Anytime you'd like to share this, share us with other people, that's how we grow. We don't ever advertise on other people's shows. It's more of a word of mouth campaign, so we're looking to spread the podcast around. All right, we have a fun little bit of caffeinated bits and food bites here today. The first thing is one of the strangest concoctions that I've ever seen coming out of the fairground circuit, and this is the for some reason, there's a trend towards deep frying absolutely everything at a fair. Now, I mean, at the Renaissance Fair in Pennsylvania here, they actually have a giant turkey leg that they make with some kind of peat moss as the cooking device, which is pretty cool. But this is above and beyond that. Now, if you've ever had funnel cake, imagine taking the dough from funnel cake, making kind of like a much more densely compact globule, and and then you infuse it with Pepsi syrup. You don't bother with the seltzer or anything like that. Yes, you just inject Pepsi Cola, Pepsi syrup into it. So you work it into it. It has a nice dark... yeah, I know. It has a nice dark color to it. You then stick this into a vat of boiling oil. Or just before boiling oil, it deep fries your stick. Then you pull it out with a toothpick. You drizzle Pepsi syrup over top of it, and you add decent amount of confectioner's sugar, and you have the latest craze sweeping the fairgrounds across the United States. There's actually one vendor was skewering somewhere around 3,200 of them a day. Now, there's a video of somebody actually trying them out. Now, I've heard of the deep-fried Snickers, deep-fried Oreos, deep-fried Twinkies. I mean, and when you're talking about a deep-fried Twinkie, you're actually frying the thing twice because I'm pretty sure that's one of the ways they make them. But actually, no, I think they're baked, but still. Yeah, I know. There's a whole bunch of new buzzwords like zero net carbs and everything else like that. But deep fried foods are kind of the anti-net carb trend, but still, it's just... It's one of those things where you're looking at it and you're going, this has to be made up. But no, you watch the video and apparently they're a big hit with the kids because, I mean, they're nothing but like, they're like a sugar bomb in your mouth. So, I mean, it's almost disgusting to me on some level. Like, I would try one, but I would be really afraid that I'd actually enjoy it. And it would kind of ruin the whole... Like to stay alive without my arteries breaking bricks thing I have going for me right now. And then on a much more healthy note, and from one of our friends over at coffeespotting.blogspot.com, they actually found a link to coffee olive oil. Yes, you heard me direct. You heard me correctly. This is Olio di Caffè. It's a infusion of coffee beans into olive oil. Now, this is something I'm actually going to have to try, although my methodology is going to be slightly different. I'll actually report back if I make it work correctly. The coffee-infused vodka was a huge hit. I still keep getting links or people hitting the website all over for that. So if that's how you found the website, hi, welcome, stay around for a little bit, but still. The recipe section over at caffeination.com is chock full of all fun little caffeinated recipes. And this is definitely going to have to go in there if I can actually make it. But there's no word on the price for this, but it definitely looks like a gourmet treat. They talk about the finest in Arabica beans and the wonderful hand-picked, selected, it's just basically picked by people in the Alps or whatever else, you know. You start throwing in gourmet buzzwords and I don't know where you end up, but they talk about the color, the nose, the taste, and the ending. They said there's a surprising sensation in your mouth, the texture of olive oil which combined with the freshness of recently cut grass. Don't know where they got that one. Immediate rounded quality of roasted coffee which slowly disappears. They say it's somewhere in between the aftertaste of an espresso, like a really good, well-done espresso, not like the over-roasted, bitter poo you get from Starbucks, but they say a lengthy ending, leaving some spicy sensations of wood, slightly sour and spicy, but also smooth, persistent, like a good espresso. So and it has like a goldish green kind of look to it. I don't know if my concoction will actually reach this status, but hey, I think it's worth a pretty shot, and I think I would actually use this on salad. I would definitely cook with this. I do a whole bunch of other little things. I could see potential for this product. So I wanted to pass it along to the other people that were out there, and hopefully you might find something interesting here. All right, and the last little thing we'd like to talk to you about today here in the Caffeination is actually a fun little link sent in from one of our listeners. Thank you very much for this, John. He said while he wasn't able to actually make it there himself, one of his buddies text messaged him this picture from the coffee festival in New Zealand, and it's the back of a shirt that says, "Espresso so dark and impenetrable, even light can't escape." Now, you gotta love a slogan like that. That's the kind of thing that would make you want to just dive into the into a cup of espresso. I consider espresso much more of a sometimes drink, and I think coffee is my everyday drink, but I love a good espresso. So thank you very much for that, John, and thank you very much for your kind words to us in regards to our podcast. We do hope to educate and entertain along the way, so hopefully everybody else is enjoying the show as much as John apparently is, and we're just going to send you on your way with the basic rundown that we do here at the Caffeination Podcast. This has been the Caffeination Podcast number 157, signing off here. If you've liked this podcast and you'd like to find more of them, you can find them over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. If you'd like to send us email, you can send that to caffeination@gmail.com. Send all your comments, feedbacks, and suggestions straight on on there. Hate mail, whatever else you feel like sending there. The Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other member shows at techpodcast.com have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content. So you can head on over there and nose around for some good tech stuff. And finally, we are listed over at blueberry.com. That's B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. It's Blueberry without the E's. It's a social podcasting network site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. And if you like MySpace, so do we. Head on over to myspace.com/caffeination, and you can enjoy the caffeinated glory over there as well. Well, we'd like to thank everybody for listening. This has been a great show. At least we hope that you think that it has been. So, again, this is Paul from the Caffeination Podcast saying thanks for listening, people, and stay caffeinated.